Did you hear about the controversy about the sexiest bald man alive?
Is it a controversy?
Yes.
Oh, I thought you were just going to say that it was you, hands down.
No. It is somewhat of a controversy.
Okay, tell me about it.
You haven't heard about this? Okay,
no.
So apparently the sexiest bald man alive is, I think, Prince Harry?
He's bald?
He's got like the eagle's nest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
He got voted the sexiest bald man alive. And Prince William, sorry.
Okay.
And The Rock didn't.
I knew you were going to bring him up.
But if it's not The Rock, Vin Diesel, you can make an argument, or Jason Statham, you can make an argument, or that dude that's in Criminal Minds that you thought was attractive.
Oh, yeah, he would win. Uh-huh.
No, apparently.
No, I'm saying in my book.
Prince William.
If you're giving me those options.
Beat him out. Michael Jordan didn't win. I'm just saying, that's awful.
I don't know if I'd go as far as to say awful. I mean, because I could disagree.
I'm not even in the top million. I mean, I don't expect
to be in
the top million.
I don't know what to say about
that. Welcome to While She's Napping. I am Adam.
And I'm Cindy.
Okay, so we had an influx of people listening to the Rhode Island in the 90s episode following our 1 year anniversary or birthday episode.
Yep.
And this is because we did the poll of the best episode of While She's Napping. And of course, if you listened to last week's episode, we left it at a cliffhanger because it came down to those two episodes, the 90s versus Rhode Island.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't give our picks, but we did say, well, I did say that I had a feeling I know which one was going to win. Lo and behold, Rhode Island won. Yeah. And that does not shock me. It is by far my favorite episode that we have done. 90s being a close second, but there are others up there.
So my logic as to why I thought the 90s would win was because I know we had a lot of listeners here in Rhode Island, but who, you know, resonated with our episode about the state. But I was thinking our listeners who aren't from Rhode Island, who are also in our generation,
right,
other millennials, would have also enjoyed the 90s. So yeah. That was my logic, but it definitely could have gone either way.
Yeah, I mean, whatever. I just think that Rhode Island episode is special, and I'd like to think it's because people that listen to it that aren't from Rhode Island had no idea what the fuck Rhode Island was.
Maybe.
And that's why they appreciate the episode, because they now understand that there is a state in the United States that's connected to the continent.
Right.
Or the country. Well, and the continent.
Yeah.
That's not an island.
Yeah.
And
it's small, but it has a lot of its own unique things going on.
We don't need to rehash.
Yeah.
But anyways. Hey, so we appreciate everybody participating in the poll and really the influx of downloads from digging through the archives since last week's episode has been pretty big. So we thank everybody for revisiting episodes if you listened to them already, or if you're a new listener and you wanted to dig back and see just what the hell we were talking about, we appreciate you doing that too. If you'd like to be involved in these conversations and participate in polls that we may have in the future, you can do so by checking out our socials.
We're on Instagram at While She's Napping, on Facebook at facebook.com/whileshesnapping. On Twitter at She's Napping Pod, or you can always email us at whileshesnapping@gmail.com.
Did you have a chance to listen to any of these episodes lately? These old ones?
The archived ones?
Yeah.
No.
Oh, you gotta.
I know.
It's good stuff. All right.
Yeah.
But I'm biased. So today we are going to talk about podcasting, basically, in the meta sense. This is going to be a sort of continuation of our infrequent series, the So You Wanna series. I believe the first one was So You Wanna Get Married. The second one was So You Wanna Have a Kid.
Mm-hmm.
And this is So You Wanna Start a Podcast, huh? I do this because I'm a frequent to r/podcast or podcasting or podcasts, plural, on Reddit. And the amount of times I see people post a thread saying, hey, I really want to get into podcasting, but I have no idea what to do, where to start. And it's got to be at least on average once a week. You mm-hmm. see that. So I figure, what better way to, you know, encourage people and explain the basics of podcasting and the impact that it can have in terms of communicating with people outside of your sphere in your normal life, then have it as a podcast.
Right.
Have it in audio. So what I'd like to do is start with sort of the technical side, the things that you need to know, the equipment that you need, the various avenues that you can use to host the podcast in terms of hosting platforms to upload your podcast, I mean. And then I sort of want to get into the enjoyability, if that's even a word, the listening experience wise, and I think that's where you can come in.
Yeah, but, first half's all you.
Yeah.
I just show up.
In a general sense, what do you think the benefits of podcasting are? If there are many.
Yeah, I mean, so you mean hosting a podcast hosting, or just listening? Or
yeah, yeah. I mean, this episode is about starting your own podcast. So co-hosting your own podcast.
Excuse me.
50%. Well, you're the star. I'm just
No, but I literally just show up and talk. You do all the technical stuff. So, yeah, I guess, I mean, for us, podcasting as a couple, we've talked about this before, just how it's like, you know, an opportunity for us to have a conversation. But the opportunity for us to do that with input from listeners and friends and family, especially during the whole pandemic, has been a unique point of connection that we wouldn't have had without podcasting. What'd you ask me? Benefits?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, what are some of the things that you have learned from podcasting that you're appreciative of? In other words, when you look back prior to podcasting, when I approached it to you and saying, hey, we should start a podcast, you were obviously nervous and apprehensive, and that comes with the territory. I think everybody is nervous and apprehensive. But now, a year later, what mm-hmm. can you look back on and say, I'm really fucking glad I did this because...
Okay, yeah. So there's that whole connection, right, you know, in talking with new people and stuff like that. But in doing that, you're right. So at the beginning, so I've always been a super introverted person. Once people get to know me really well, I'm not. Yeah. But, and I've never been great at, like, you know, public speaking and things like that. And I do tend to approach talking about things like walking on eggshells,
yeah,
you know, afraid to hurt people's feelings or offend people. And I think doing this project has kind of forced me out of my comfort zone in that sense, and also forced me to see things from different perspectives. Like when you and I disagree about something, or hearing constructive criticism or feedback from listeners on a topic that I really had never explored outside of my own perspective. And then it's just been a big confidence builder to be able to say what I think and either learn something new from someone without, and most of the feedback we get, it's not like anyone is saying, no, you're wrong, you're stupid, why would you think that? On the one hand, it's like, either way, it's validating what I had to say, you know, whether they agree with me or they're saying, okay, yes, and you could also look at it this way,
right,
has all been really a great learning experience.
I only ask that because obviously the confidence to start has to come first. And when people are struggling with the notion of, oh, I don't know if I want to put my voice out there, oh, I don't know if anybody will care about what I have to say, I want to let you know, listener, that is debating whether or not to start a podcast, that happens with everyone. Everyone that does an independent podcast, they grapple with that at first. I promise you it's true. But it takes a lot, and I give a lot of credit to anybody that starts to podcast. It takes a lot of courage because you have to really embrace vulnerabilities, right? And I know it might not come across as clear to a listener of frequent podcasts. Like if podcasting is your thing, listening experience wise, you might not, you know, catch on to the fact that people are putting their voice out there. And that in and of itself is scary, right? Mm-hmm. It's not just the thoughts, it's the sound of your voice, the way you enunciate things, the way you, for me, the podcasting has benefited me because I used to say like all the time. All the time.
Me too, in the very beginning, and I've tried to rein it in.
Yeah.
After hearing myself back.
I have been making an effort.
There you go.
Active effort. There you go. To not say like all the time. So my point in bringing this up is podcasting is a beautiful thing. It connects you with so many people. It connects you with like-minded people or people that oppose your point of view. And if you're lucky, you'll get people that oppose and bring it up to you in a respectful way.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem is that we the age of the internet is such that people like to troll, people like to insult, people like to be mean. So you have to be ready to embrace that. It's going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, I think if you, as long as you're presenting yourself in a way that invites healthy discussion and conversation, I think that you'll get that in return. But you'll inevitably get trolls or people who aren't interested in that. They just want to shit on you.
Yeah.
And you have to just...
You just move on. You take your licks and you move
on. Exactly. You just ignore it.
Or, you know, if you're putting stuff up on YouTube or, you know, wherever to promote your stuff, just don't read the comments.
Yeah.
You can go that route. But anyways, if you're thinking about doing it, just do it, right? This is a great, great, great time right now to be alive. It's a great time to be alive in the aspect that we can connect with people like that. We can connect with people effortlessly. And when it comes to podcasting, you don't need a lot of equipment. You could just get by with just your phone. Obviously, that's bare bones, soup to nuts kind of thing. But if you really wanted to put your voice out there, you can do it simply with your phone. Obviously, a better quote-unquote listening experience requires better equipment. The old adage is you get what you pay for. That's just with anything. You get what you pay for. I know a lot of people don't have those financial resources available to get top quality stuff. We are in that position as well. We don't have top quality stuff, but due to editing and due to the interface that we use, we make it work.
It's also been a process.
Yes, it's trial and error.
Yeah, right? And building up over time. And, you know, you save up for a new piece of equipment or you figure out a way. You've gotten some good financing deals, you know, no interest financing on some things. But yeah, you can't expect to necessarily buy all the best of the best stuff that you want all at once.
No.
Kind of
and
build on
if
your
you have to get
collection.
Things that are a little cheaper, with a little bit of tweaking, you can make it sound really good.
Mm-hmm.
We'll get into that. But the point of all this babbling right now is if you're thinking about doing it, do it. I sincerely believe podcasting is the new form of social media, right? What podcasting fulfills that normal social media lacks, like Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, is tone and inflection. How many times have you read an email, read a text, read a status, read a comment that you took one way, but the author legitimately meant it in another?
Mm-hmm.
It happens all the time because you're not hearing the tone of voice.
Right.
Sarcasm, doesn't really transfer well in text.
Yeah.
But if you hear it in audio, you'll be able to understand it better. So I really do think podcasting, because anybody can do it, you don't need to be hired to be a podcaster. You don't need to be hired to be a YouTuber or anything. You can just do it. There's a benefit of that type of social media where traditional social media lacks.
Right. Yeah, I think you get to know someone much better by hearing their voice and hearing them talk about something. The other side of that to me is that when we're interacting with our listeners, we are only getting it in text form on social media.
Yes.
So we don't get the same benefit of hearing them and their voice.
Hey, you can send us a video message.
Or an audio text, whatever. But yeah, I mean, in that sense, it's kind of one-sided, but I think it's better than nothing. It's better than just constantly seeing status updates or whatever from people.
Yeah. And I do think that we are trending as a people, I guess I can speak for mostly here in North America. I really can't speak much for Europe, but I imagine it's not any different, really. I believe, and whether or not you want to think this is a good thing, reading is sort of declining, and people are more apt to listen to things, right? So we're going back to, you know, with the invention of the written word, it changed everything. And, you know, these, you know, fables that people would tell and people would grapple with and absorb into their culture sort of faded away because the written word was now available. I feel like we're going backwards in that regard, and we're more inclined to listen to things. Like, how often do you do chores or do work or something and you want a passive listening experience?
Yeah.
You can't do that. You can't work and read at the same time. You can't clean or cook and read at the same time. You can't drive and read. Yeah. And that's why I think not just podcasting, but audiobooks are becoming so popular and whatnot. I really believe we're trending more towards a listening sort of learning experience rather than reading now.
Right. Like storytelling.
Yeah.
Like just oratory history.
Yeah. I think people absorb it better.
Yeah. And I just think in our modern society with how busy people are, and like you said, if you're sitting down doing something, or I mean, you're probably scrolling on your phone, you're probably doom scrolling or, you know, or watching TV. Not to say that people don't read anymore.
Oh, I'm but not you're saying right. It's dead.
Right. But it allows you to multitask.
Yes. Yeah. I just think it's a more convenient way to learn. For me, for instance, when I want to learn something and I listen to it, I can better recall it rather than if I study it.
Yeah, that probably depends on the person. That's
because
just
I can hear someone else say it to me.
See, I like listening for entertainment. I don't know about for learning. I'm more of a visual person because I can I remember back in school, I'd be able to picture my textbook or my outline and like picture where the information was on the page.
That's mutant shit. I cannot
it's just like a photographic sort of memory or visual learner.
So let's get into the technical aspect of this. So if you're looking to take the plunge and you're saying to yourself, all right, let's go, Jose, we're gonna start podcasting right now. I don't know, I just said Jose. I don't know,
so random.
Marcus, I don't know. Anyways, Samantha, if you're ready to take the plunge, the first thing you're saying to yourself, okay, I need a topic. You could get by with sort of random topics on a weekly basis. I don't know who does that. That's just weird. No, I'm kidding. That's what we do. I promise you, whatever you decide to do right now, it's going to evolve.
Yeah.
Every podcast that I've been a part of has evolved, just like you as a person has evolved. Don't think that you can't pivot to a different direction. Don't think that you can't be fluent when it comes to the content. You can. It's your thing. It's your baby. You can make it whatever you want to make it. Move along, left, right, top, bottom, doesn't matter. When we started this project, we were thinking it's going to be more marriage / parenting centric, and it just went all over the place.
Right.
And it has its benefits. We talked about the 1 year anniversary episode that we just had and recalling all the different topics in the archive. I feel when it comes to that, first of all, I had a thirst to just explode on a microphone when it came to various topics. But my very first podcast was a sports podcast. It's great to get in that niche, but you may have the overwhelming desire to expand. That's what happened with me. So once you nail your topic, what you want to do is head over to anchor.fm. It's a free podcasting hosting site. It's bought by Spotify. So the analytics that you're going to get, analytics being how many listeners you're getting, where they're coming from, the countries they reside in, where people are downloading your content, it's legit. It's pretty good. It's not great, but it's good enough if you're just starting out. That's what we did. It's a free platform. It doesn't cost you a dime. Mm-hmm. You upload your stuff for free. You own the content. It's your content. Anchor does not own the content. That is a fabled myth that people have that because it's free, they own it. No, that's not the case. It's just Spotify's way of expanding their platform. They're trying to dominate the podcasting sphere. So go to anchor.fm. That's where you're going to want to create the name of your podcast, create an RSS feed, get your email set up, and what's great about Anchor is they automatically distribute the podcast to all the podcatchers, that being Spotify, Apple, Google, CastBox, Deezer, Stitcher, Amazon. They distribute it automatically to all of them. You don't have to worry about it. The next thing you want to do is get artwork done. Artwork for me is not as important as the listening experience. It's sort of secondary. But when people search for a podcast, you have that image that they see and it sort of compels them whether or not to click on it. I'm not saying that I wouldn't click on something that's hand-drawn, but I'm more inclined to click on something that's digitally designed rather than just scribbled from paint or something.
Yeah.
And a good resource to use for artwork creation on the cheap, it does cost money, but it's cheap, go to Fiverr, Fiverr.com. They have people there, freelance designers that will design your podcast art for like $5.
And you just give them a little bit of information about what your podcast is, and
that's it. And there are revisions that you can go under. They'll take care of it. That's, again, what we did. It was one and done.
Mm-hmm.
We
just told them what it was. They came back with a design and we're like, that looks great. I could not come up with something better myself. Like, I had no ideas.
Maybe eventually that will evolve too, but for now it's good enough. I don't focus so much on the artwork, but I want it done at least appropriately.
Mm-hmm. And we did have one of our reviews on iTunes, I think, specifically called out the cover art.
Yeah.
The reviewer said, love the cover art. Yeah. And so, I mean, I guess it means something. There are some people who really look for that and appreciate it.
The next thing you're trying to figure out is audio. And audio is dependent on the platform or the PC that you're using. So if you're using a Windows platform, so operating system, I should say, not platform. If you're using Windows, I encourage you to download Audacity. 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 It's free. It's a free DAW. DAW's digital audio workspace. It allows you to edit all your audio input music where you want, adjust levels, adjust volumes. The listening experience is done in Audacity if you're using Windows. If you're using a Mac, GarageBand is free, comes with every single Mac. That's what I did. Wonderful. No DAW is better than the other. Wherever you edit your podcast in terms of your audio, wherever it's done, that's the one that works for you. Don't buy into Audacity's better than GarageBand or, I don't know, Audio Hijack is the best audio platform that you can use. It doesn't matter. Whatever works for you, that's the one you want to use.
And you've tried them all, right?
I've tried a bunch.
Yeah.
I don't personally like Audacity.
Those three that you just mentioned, yes. You've tried.
I don't personally like Audacity. I learned how to edit on GarageBand, so I'm just used to it.
Right.
So people recommend Pro Tools. People recommend, again, Audio Hijack, Audacity. Pick one from the jump and learn. And
right.
You learn by just trial and error. You'll learn by doing it. Or go to YouTube. How do I use GarageBand? Or how do I use Audacity? Just go through that process. Take the time to learn about your editing software and it will work for you. Just pick one and stick with it. It will work forever. Again, no DAW is better than the other. Just use it. Once you do that, you want to save your file as an MP3 for your first download. If you are happy with it, you can toss it up on Anchor. Now, what we did was we made a trailer. I wanted to make a trailer because, first of all the cool podcasts that I listen to have a trailer. And that is how I used to decide whether or not I want to listen to this podcast or not. So you want, if you're going to go that route and make a trailer, you want your trailer to be at least 2 minutes, or sorry, at most 2 minutes of what you're delivering. And even though we pivoted on content, the trailer still applies, I feel, perfectly to what the show represents.
Well, it captured our style of conversation.
Yes.
And our like interaction and sort of, you know, how we talk with each other. That bleeds through no matter what we're talking about.
Right.
Yeah.
And a good trailer, whether it's funny, whether it's dramatic, whether it's you know, enticing, whether it's fierce, however you want to do it, make sure it captures the essence of you. You want to make sure that you're putting yourself out there and the representation that you're giving is as best and as close as possible to who you are. Obviously, when you're in a podcast, or rather on a podcast, there is an element of showmanship that might not necessarily be present when you're talking to people in real life. That's part of the delivery. That's part of the show. I certainly don't, maybe I do, you would know better. I don't know if I talk this way to people outside of this, but I feel like when I sit in this chair and I have this microphone in front of me, I just transform.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
I used to think that even from when you did your sports one, like, because I could sometimes hear you from upstairs, you know, and I could just hear.
Not to say that I'm not being genuine.
No, you are 100%, but it's almost just like you get, you know, you're just in your element. Like,
there's
you're
showmanship.
Excited. You're, sure, but I don't think it's even intentional. I just no. think you're in your element.
Yeah.
And it just, things, you like, it just flows, and you have, I think at first you had like your podcasting voice, but now it's more natural.
Yeah.
And yeah.
When you start off, you're going to be nervous and you want to have the perfect delivery. Don't worry about any of that. Don't
right.
just be yourself as best as possible in your recordings.
Am I like that?
No, you're you.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I have no showmanship.
Yeah. Speaking of recordings, I highly recommend having two recordings done at once. When you record your shows, have two avenues of recording. So again, you can open up two different things of Audio Hijack. Make sure you're recording at the same time, both of them. Because if one crashes, you need another. You'll always have a backup recording. Always. I always record my or our content two times so we don't lose anything.
Because
if one crashes, it's gone. And right. then you have to try to reinvent this. And
right.
retouch on topics. I've been there. I've done it. I've done it with guests. It's embarrassing, but it happens. So my advice, two recordings at once, bar none. You have to have at least two. After that, you're ready to roll. You put your content up there. You know, you might be thinking, who cares about this topic? Whatever topic you're covering, law of averages dictate if you like it, someone else likes it.
Yeah.
And if law of averages dictate if that someone else likes it, that means someone else likes it. There's always going to be people out there that will be receptive to your product.
Mm-hmm.
Always. Does not matter what you're talking about. That being said, if it's only 50 people listening to your content, it's 50 people. I cannot tell you how many times I've driven myself insane looking at the numbers. Looking at how many people are listening to me, how many people care, how many people are downloading this episode. And I know we talk about it sometimes, specifically now. I know in the beginning we did it on a weekly basis. Now I like to do it at the end of every month. It's not so I can boost my ego. It's more of an appreciation, an overwhelming nature of, wow, so many countries, I guess,
yeah,
are listening to our content. That's great. It's a thank you. But when you start off, only the rarest of rare occasions are you going to go from zero listens to millions.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't happen.
Yeah.
We don't even get that.
No, not at all. And I think we're going to talk about this in the second half in more detail. But I think a big part of it, like you talked about podcasting as being social media or a new form of social media, they're so interconnected. And I think we're going to talk about promoting the podcast and things like that. But yeah, I feel like we have never been big social media users, and we're trying to do more with that for this project, because at the end of the day, I feel like that's how people hear about podcasts.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So don't worry about numbers. Don't worry about listeners, especially at the beginning. If you're passionate about it and you really want to get more engagement, there are ways to do it. As Cindy just said, we'll talk about it, but just don't drive yourself crazy. You will go insane. Just don't do it. That's the best advice I can give you. You can take a peek, but just don't rest your laurels on who's listening and who's not, or the amount of people that are listening. Don't do it. And lastly, when it comes to the audio quality, I mentioned earlier that artwork is sort of secondary. For me personally, I can't listen to podcasts that don't sound good. That's just me. Mm-hmm. And I think that's mostly because I do edit this and I do take the time to, you know, make sure the levels are correct, tweak the audio, make sure my microphone position is good. It's just these little things that you learn along the way. The plosives aren't super breakthrough, which I probably just did. I need to have a good audio experience. Some people don't. Some people say if the content is good and the audio sucks, that's fine.
Right, they can deal with it. Yeah.
On the other hand, I've heard really good audio from really boring podcasts.
Yeah.
So it's not the make or break, but for me personally, that's the first thing I listen to is if the audio quality is bad, I'm already starting off at a bad listening experience. So the content's got to be good. That's just me.
Well, you have a very keen ear. Like you have, yeah. I mean, you come from a musician's background too, with listening back to even thinking about your band recording your albums, like, and you're listening back and I'll be here and you're like, oh, that sounds weird, or that bass line needs to be, and you hear these very intricate audio things that I think a layperson like me, who doesn't do any of this audio engineering stuff or anything to do with recording audio, would never pick up on. Like, there's so many times even that if we're checking or we're listening back to something, and there are things that you pick up on that I don't even hear.
Yeah.
At all.
I think because, like I said, because I edit this, I'm a little bit more nitpicky.
Yeah.
When it comes to audio. But again, this goes back to, you can tweak your audio with a pretty cheap microphone and make it sound really good. Mm-hmm. So I just posted on my personal Twitter and Instagram how it started and how it's going. It was my original microphone, the orange one, way back over there.
That's right.
And it's like a $20 microphone from Amazon. How it started, how's it going? It's the SM7B, which is notorious for the Joe Rogan microphone. And this was also the microphone that Michael Jackson recorded Thriller on. I've always wanted this microphone, and it took me 5 years to get it.
Yeah.
You're using the Electro Voice RE20. It's a classic broadcasting microphone, and I think it sounds great. But if you want to use something cheaper, these are both expensive microphones. If you want to use something cheaper, the Blue Yeti is very popular. I've used it. I personally don't like it. I think it's too big, too in front of my face. But if that works for you, it's a great startup microphone. It's a USB microphone. You don't need an interface to plug into. You can just plug right into your computer and record. Or if you want to use a XLR, which is the microphone cables with the interface, you can do it. And a really good, cheap, solid microphone is the Shure SM58. It has stood the test of time. It is indestructible. That microphone is virtually indestructible. You can kill someone with it. It's like a Maglite for microphones. It is heavy. It is robust. People have driven Mack trucks over it, and it doesn't break. It is beautiful. It is the official microphone of the White House. It is America's microphone. If you've gone to a local band show and you see that microphone with the silver grill on top with a black bass, that is the SM58. Gotcha. It is a beautiful microphone, and it sounds great, and it's about $100. And for a microphone...
Why don't you have one?
Because I like this.
Okay.
This is more for spoken word. Okay. SM7B is a more... broad microphone. You can use it for musicians, you can use it for spoken word. I just think this captures the tone of my voice a little better. But it's a great microphone, and all you need is like a windscreen to protect the plosives, and you're good to go. It's great. It's a great startup microphone. So my recommendation, if you're going to spend the $120 on the Blue Yeti, I'd say spend the $100 on the SM58 and get a cheap audio interface for like $50. At the end of the day, you're spending about $30 more. It's worth it. I promise you it's worth it. And that being said, just go nuts. Have faith in yourself. Have confidence in the product that you're talking about. That's basically what it boils down to. And above all else, have fun. If you're doing this to make money, don't do it.
Yeah, I was going to say, make money. I feel like a lot, and we're going to talk about some other podcasts that we listen to and stuff later, but I don't think that any independent podcaster goes into it with the thought that, oh, I'm going to make it big in podcasting. I want to make this my full time. Really?
You'd be surprised. Yeah.
I feel like, maybe I'm just thinking of a few examples in my head of ones that I listen to that, you know, obviously there are big podcasts that are done by journalists and, you know, news outlets and things. But I'm saying I just can think of several examples of people who were like, we never expected that we would get this kind of traction, that we would be here today.
It's very rare.
Right. But I feel like no one sort of sees that happening. So like to go into it with that expectation, I feel like is like doesn't have any value.
Yeah. And I say it's rare because, yes, those that you listen to that start off independent and you see that they have sponsorship, you discover them mostly because they shoot up to the charts or word of mouth. Think about how many podcasts start a day that you don't even know about.
Oh, totally. Right. But my point is you shouldn't go into, given that it's rare.
It's very rare.
You shouldn't go into it with that expectation.
Right.
But if it happens.
Oh, embrace it.
It never happens because someone expected it to happen.
No,
always like surprised by it, you know?
I started the sports podcast because I just wanted to connect. I wanted to connect with people that lived in the region of the sports team that I love.
Right.
I.e. Toronto. And
because you got bored trying to talk to me about it.
Yeah, yeah. And I just wanted to get my voice out there because I've been a fan for so long. Sports is a huge part of my life. And eventually it paid off. I didn't start off with hundreds of listeners. It did grow to that. And, you know, I was hitting, I mean, again, maybe I was getting 2,000 listens a month, which is, some people are like, oh, that's really good. But the people that are making good money are like,
right.
Yeah. Okay, buddy.
Well, it was good for what you wanted the project to be.
Yeah,
it allowed
you
to connect with all those people. Right. But I'm saying that's what I mean. Your expectation wasn't to become a professional sports podcaster.
No, and that took years.
Make it your full-time job.
Yeah. It took years.
Right.
It took years to get there. It is so much free labor to get to that point.
So it's got to be a passion project.
Yeah, it's got to be a passion. Don't expect to make money. Do it for fun. Do it for the connection. And anybody listening to this that's on the fence and you're just, you know, overwhelmed by the process, just do it. It's a learning experience. You will pick up on it quick. Use the free resources available that I've mentioned. Just do it and it will work out. Let's take a pause here. And on the other side, we'll talk about promotion and interaction with audience and audiences rather.
Sure.
And we'll go from there. Hang tight.
Yeah, I mentioned earlier about how we are both pretty bad with social media, and we kind of knew going into this project that was going to be, you know, a big part of it, that it was kind of inevitable that we were going to have to lean on social media to connect with people. Because podcasting is one-sided, people will listen to us on all these other platforms,
right,
but there's no opportunity for feedback or interaction except on these social media platforms. And you had kind of gotten up to speed on how to interact or promote a podcast on social media from your previous one, mostly through Twitter. That was your platform
Twitter
of
and
choice.
Instagram were my platforms of choice.
Okay. And Reddit, you got yourself really familiar
Not
with...
Not really with the sports. Reddit has benefited this podcast.
Oh, okay. I thought you used it for that one, too.
I tried that's a big thing. Before we continue, anybody that is, you know, thinking about starting a podcast, and let's say you're doing it on, I don't know, financing, I don't know, something, and there's an r/financing, do not post your podcast in there. Don't do it. You'll immediately be banned or get a warning and people won't want to listen.
So it don't has to be that. In a podcast.
It doesn't have to be. If there's a topic of conversation that your podcast has discussed in the past, like take ours, for example. If we talked about QAnon, right, twice. If I went into QAnon casualties, which is a pretty hot subreddit for, you know, people talking about the, not in the conspiracy, but loved ones of those that believe in QAnon.
Right.
If there was a topic that someone put it in the board, I could leave a reply and say, hey, not going to post it here, not going to fuck with the integrity of the board, but my wife and I do a podcast. We talked about this. If you want the link, DM me.
Gotcha. So they just don't want those conversations being overtaken by promotion.
It just spams. Yeah. It just starts spamming the board and people don't want that.
That makes sense.
But if you say, you make the effort to reach out to me and we'll discuss it and I'll provide you with the link is different than me just, hey, I talked about this. Here you go.
Right. And it's a one-on-one thing. You're giving it to that individual. You're not putting it on the channel for everybody to see. Right. Yeah. That makes sense. So I still don't really use Reddit. I don't, like, I understand what it is and kind of know how it works, but it's just not my thing. So I think for me, it's been I wouldn't say I've been resistant to social media, like on a personal level. I just think I don't naturally go on there to like share my life. Like, it's just not my normal instinct. You know, when something,
it's crazy because that's what it's for.
I know, but it's like it takes me an extra effort when I'm like, oh, this would be fun to post on social media, or like this would be really relatable. Like I can think of a bunch of people who would really think this was funny or something, and I'll go and post it. But it's not my first knee-jerk reaction every time something happens in my life or is to go and run and post it on social media. Like, it takes an act of effort for me to remember that that's a thing.
Shout out to episode one.
Yeah, exactly. So we made very conscious decisions about it as from a parenting perspective, but I just mean in my own life, like, I don't post pictures of myself very often. We don't post about things that we're doing. We don't like check into places.
No.
I mean, it's just not. This isn't to say that it's wrong or bad for people who do that. I recognize it's like a totally natural thing. Yeah, yeah. But for whatever reason, it doesn't occur to me. And so that has been a big hurdle for me. So we talked the whole first half about how you're kind of the mastermind behind all the technical and audio stuff. So the social media, it kind of makes sense that the social media kind of fell to me to sort of balance out our responsibilities with the project. Yeah, minus Reddit. And so I've been trying to figure out something that works. And I have had all of these great plans for... You know, wouldn't it be great if we got on a schedule of doing like this kind of a post on a Monday and then we do this type of a post on a Wednesday and like have a plan? But it never works. It never works. I never follow through with it. I think it's just because I'm not a big social media person. So,
and we're busy.
And we're just, yeah, we're busy. But I think if I had the time, I would probably, I don't even know if this is good advice because I've never done it myself, but it's something that I would like to do that I think would help, would be to take some sort of a course in social media.
Don't waste your money.
No, there must be free resources.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, but I'm saying I haven't even invested the time to even explore it and like learn YouTube. About tips and tricks. That's what I'm saying. I know it's out there. And just simple things like just understanding the type of content and like how to caption things in a way that captures people's attention, how to have captivating images. Like, I just know nothing about any of that.
Yeah. And I think that speaks to, not that we don't give a shit about this project. I don't want that to resonate. It's more that this is at first for us something that's fun.
That we do together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that goes back to, don't do it to make money. Have fun with it. And
right.
Because it's not a priority to push the product.
Yeah.
You know, I feel weird doing that because we first promoted, quote unquote, this to our friends and family. And to constantly just shove it down their throat, it becomes, I feel, less enjoyable experience to participate.
Yeah, I guess from my perspective, the thing that I think I would like to share more of in our social media platforms is, like, I think, and maybe I'm not interpreting correctly, but I feel like a big part of our connection with a lot of the people who listen is that because we talk about such random shit, there must be something, like, they must connect with us in some way. Like,
I just think we,
on a personal level,
you know, you outsmarting me all the time.
That's not true.
That's, I think, not, that's what it is.
I mean, I like doing that too, but that doesn't happen all the time.
I think the best way to promote, and speaking from experience on Twitter and Instagram, again, if you're in a specific genre, let's say you're doing a Harry Potter podcast or something, I'm just spitballing, click hashtag Harry Potter and just go on a like spree.
Yeah.
I know it's spammy. I know there's questionable ethics when it comes to the use of social media. I don't buy that at all. I think that's fine. I think if you go to, you make an Instagram page for your podcast, you click on hashtag whatever it is that you're talking about. For us, it was married couples or Rhode Island. We did a lot of, or parents or something. I just clicked on the hashtag, clicked on recent, and just liked every single photo. I didn't give a fuck what it looked like. I didn't give a fuck what the caption said. I just liked it. The point is now that person that operates that social media that you just liked, whether it's an Instagram image or a tweet, they now are conscious of you, if only for a brief moment.
And they might look at the page and, but that's what I mean about, like, when that happens and they come to our page and there's not good content on it, it doesn't matter how much they might actually like the podcast if they listen. If they're not engaged by our social media account, then they're not going to come listen.
Right.
So it's all connected. But yes, what I was going to say before about, like, if people are connecting with us, I feel like it would be good to also have some content on social media that gives people, like, a peek into our life or, like, about some of the things that we talk about on the podcast, but in real life. Like, I love the most feedback we've gotten on our social media posts is, like, the one where you sunk the basket from walking backwards. Random shit that people connect with, and it's relatable and it's funny. I think that just helps enrich the relationship that we have with our listeners, because it allows for them to send a message or to react to it or whatever, and it's, I don't know.
Yeah, it's hard to do that with our child because she's everywhere, and we made the conscious decision not to put her.
Right,
on
we try not to use our phones a lot. That's a really good point.
But it depends on how far you want to push it. If you don't mind having your entire family on your social media platform, go nuts. And that's just that's not me being condescending. That's legit. If you don't have a problem with it, please. If you don't have those reservations, please. It does help. Mm-hmm. It does allow people to get more engaged. To me, I don't, and this is just personal, I'm not saying this is right or wrong, I don't want my child to be the product. I don't want my child to be the reason people click on things. To me, that's just like sort of whoring out my child for clicks. I don't want to do that. That's personally just in a product. If it's
my personal
page. I know
what you mean. I just, the way that you just described that.
Oh, sorry. Like, you know, just selling my child for clicks. I don't want to do that. And obviously not real money coming my way. Just
I know what you mean. I know what you mean.
The social media sell and whoring out.
But I'm saying we don't have to include our child to just, I'm saying, I guess what I'm saying is, just post more often.
Yeah,
just
sure.
Just to like,
you have to be active on social media in
if
some
you
degree.
Want to grow it. I feel like we're pretty content with where we are. We're very appreciative for all the listeners that we do have and the connections that we've made with so many of them.
Yeah.
So if we get better at social media, great. But if I also don't want to be glued to my phone 24/7.
Yeah. So utilize the free tools that are available to you. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Reddit, r/podcasting/podcasts, plural. Beautiful resources, free. You can have people talk, just go into the search bar, type in the microphone you're thinking about buying, type in the interface or the DAW that you're thinking about using. They have a free weekly place to post your podcast. That's why this is beautiful. I don't think podcast does it anymore, but podcasting and podcasts, I believe, I could be wrong about that, but there are at least two that allow you to post your episode. There's a thread every Monday. You can just post it. No, it has to be structured a specific way. They tell you how to do it. Copy paste that template, put your information in. That has driven our traffic a lot.
Mm-hmm. And that's how we met our besties.
Yes. r/podcast sharing. Anytime you have a new episode, that is what that subreddit is for. You can put it on there anytime you want. Mm-hmm. Problem is it gets drowned because so many people post it, but it's still worth the effort just to put it there. I cannot tell you how beneficial Reddit has been to the driving of our traffic. So utilize the free tools that are available to you. Do not fall for the pay for more subscribers, pay for more listeners. Don't do it.
Yeah.
Utilize your free tools available to you. Utilize the social medias. Go to canva.com to get cover work done. If you don't want to go to Fiverr, you can use, this is what I use. I use Canva to make episode art every week that reflects the episode that we're using. It's not a mystery to people. Everybody uses Canva. This is not a free secret. Canva is a thing. canva.com, free. They have a premium that you can pay for. I don't. I just use the free ones. And you can edit templates as you will. Utilize that. Mm-hmm. Utilize that to your benefit. Go to YouTube. Type in license-free music. You get a boatload of music that you can just download license-free. You don't have to worry about copyright hits.
That's a good note, too, because that's something that I wasn't super conscious about, because I was thinking, oh, it'd be so funny to play like a clip of this song or a clip from this or whatever. And
I mean, you can get away with it.
Yeah,
most people
it's not,
do, especially if you're on an independent scale. We probably could.
Right, but
I just don't want to get that letter.
Well, you know? And it's just, I mean, it is kind of unethical. I mean, it's that you're using someone's content without their permission
or
whatever.
Fair enough. We've used ELR. Everybody loves Raymond Clip. Yeah. But whatever. My point is,
it's just a good thing to have on your radar.
For music specifically.
Yeah.
Our intro music is not unique. People have
I've
used
heard
it.
I've it on other podcasts,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, people have used it.
There was like a silly video on YouTube that had it.
But it's free.
Yeah, that's why.
We're not going to get nailed for it. Right. Just type in copyright free or license free hip hop or country or rock, whatever style you're looking for. Utilize those tools. Utilize them. Just search Google YouTube to MP3 converter and you can download the MP3 for free and you won't get nailed. Mm-hmm. YouTube or nothing will not penalize you for anything. Apple will not penalize you for anything. Utilize those free things available to you and engage. Try your best to engage with the people when they engage with you first. On my previous podcast, I cannot tell you how, like the moment I started that podcast, that sports podcast, I cannot tell you how many times I've reached out to people before starting the podcast, trying to interact with them that had their own podcast, and they never got back to me. Mm. I vowed from the beginning, I will interact with everybody that takes the time to send me a message. Mm-hmm. I will interact with everybody that takes the time to send me a tweet, an Instagram DM, anything. I will take the time because they took the time to talk to me.
Mm-hmm.
Interact
and
with your audience.
And listen to the podcast in the first place.
Interact
and then reach
with
out.
Your audience. Yeah. I've had some people email me. It's happened maybe once or twice where they email me and it was sort of criticizing, saying, you don't know what you're talking about this. How could you even put that on the air? And instead of rebelling back, I said, you're right. I should have done my research first. I'm sorry. You're making my product better by telling me this. Thank you. I'll utilize that for the future. And that same person got back to me, said, I was not anticipating that kind of response. I really enjoyed the rest of your show. I just wanted to point this out.
Oh, wow.
Be kind and be courteous to the people that are taking time to reach out to you. It's very important that you do that because you don't want to lose them. I know I preached about don't worry about the numbers, but if you have people that are interested in taking the time to interact with you, interact back with them. Take the time to do it.
And if they have an emotional response to something, I mean, if you're talking about financing, then it's probably not, you're probably not going to get a super emotional reaction.
No, but
if you're talking about stuff
like
we are, sure. But I'm saying we've touched on some pretty sensitive things and, you know,
sociologically and stuff.
Yeah, it's expected that you might get an emotional reaction from someone, and that's part of it.
Yeah.
And like we said, as long as they're not being like hateful and insulting, it's okay if they have a stronger emotional reaction, and shutting down the conversation at that point is completely non-productive.
Yeah. So. I don't want anybody to think that this runs counter to what we have said in the past. If a listener is going to say that we said something that we didn't, or say that didn't say something that I definitely did, right, I'm not going to respond to that.
Right. But if it's an informed, like they obviously listened to the episode and they're making a legitimate point about something about, then
even if they're being an asshole, I'm going to kill them with kindness.
Yeah. Yeah.
That is just, it is unproductive to start a fucking bitching match back and forth through email. I don't know who this person is. I'm never going to meet this person. Just kill them with kindness. At least at the end of the day, they can have an impression of you of saying, hey, I didn't like that episode. I didn't like what that person had to say, but he wasn't a dick to me or a bitch when I reached out to him or her. They were courteous. They were kind. They took the time to read what I said.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
That being said, utilize the free tools that are available to you. The ones that we've referenced, utilize social media, however you want. Again, it's really hypocritical because we don't use it to the best of our advantage. But again, I'm 35 and I'm tired. So,
but we recognize that it's a tool that we underutilize.
If we didn't have kids, we're having another child. Yeah. But if we didn't have one already,
it's only going to get worse when we have two.
We probably would be far more dedicated to the social media aspect. I just don't have the time.
Yeah.
So while she's napping, if you enjoy the content and you're saying, wow, these guys are really enjoyable to listen to, just know we do the bare minimum to really promote this product. The absolute bare minimum. But we are happy that you have found us and you trust us to help you in your podcasting journey. Before we wrap it up, I sort of want to close with you giving the audience maybe some advice as to things that you've learned throughout this process, and you know, maybe speak more to the vulnerability things that you did in the beginning, and what makes a good podcasting experience or listening experience for you.
Yeah, I don't know if I have much more to get into on the what I've learned in the vulnerability stuff. I mean,
are
I talked
glad
a little bit
that
on
you did this.
Yes, of course, 100%. I think I talked about it a little bit on last week's episode too. So, and anyone who knows me, if we have any of our friends and family who are listening, know me and know that I'm a pretty quiet, introverted person, but I can get very passionate about something when I care about it. And it was definitely a leap for me to go from doing that in a one-on-one or like an intimate setting with people that I know really well, who I feel like they're going to love me anyway, you know?
Wait until they hear the sex episode.
Oh, God. Well, there's a reason we haven't done that yet. But yeah, to get over that and know that I'm going to be putting myself out there in that same sort of way, but to complete strangers or people who don't know me very well and may misinterpret my intentions or not have that underlying foundation. And there was good opportunity that was going to happen. And I just had to accept that. So in that sense, it has been a huge growing opportunity for me and taught me that it's okay to do that. Like you can you can put yourself out there even when someone doesn't really know you. And if they misinterpret your intentions, then it's an opportunity for a conversation.
Yeah. Side note, if you're afraid of the content that you're putting out and you're saying, ooh, I don't know if I really want to put out a fake name. You don't have to use your real name.
True.
We do.
Yeah.
But you don't have to. You can have an alias. It's fine.
That's true. And then I guess as far as things that what I think makes a good podcast in general and what I enjoy about the podcast that I do listen to.
It's got
to
be true crime.
Yeah, so I'm going to talk about that. So earlier I was talking about how you're the audio person, right? But I do appreciate good audio, and I have had that experience too where I listen into something and I just can't get past the shitty audio even if I really want to listen to the content. I think I just can't identify what the problem is the same way that you can, but I know something's off or something's bad.
Right.
So that is valuable to me. I think it's important for there to be a balance for the podcast that I listen to as far as how the hosts, depending on the topic. I feel like for us with this sort of a with the content that we talk about, it's sort of about us and what we think and our personalities and like having that sort of connection. But if you're listening to something that's like a a podcast that's supposed to be informative or about politics or about true crime, I think it's a very interesting balance that those hosts strike of, you know, they want their listeners to enjoy listening to them and to like them as people, but also be able to not like go off the rails on things and stay on their topic. And I feel like there are some podcasts out there that I've used to listen to a lot and I've had to stop because the hosts get too far away from, it's like, I listen to your podcast because I enjoy your telling of these true crime stories. And if you're going to go off on tangents on politics or like other, I'm not saying that you can't never say anything.
It's very stick to sports of you.
That's not what I mean. I'm not saying you can never say anything.
It's just the platform.
I'm saying when it overtakes the episode and the content to the point where you can't listen to the story for what it is.
Yeah.
That's too much to
me. I feel
me.
Like people don't listen, specifically with true crime, people don't listen to true crime to get their political takes. So I sympathize
with
you.
And it's not just politics. It's like, and I have one particular example in my mind. I'm not going to say what
it is. I know what you're talking about.
Some of our other listeners probably also know what I'm talking about. But when there's drama also happening in the background of a podcast and that is becomes front and center, and maybe this doesn't happen that much more often, but it's happening right now, like really intensely in the true crime space. It's so off-putting. And I don't mean to say stick to sports, but I'm saying especially if you've gotten to a point where you're a professional, but I know what you mean. Like if you're a professional podcaster, if you get to that point or you intend to get to that point, you have to strike a level of professionalism.
Drag them. Drag them.
I would say it kind of goes back to what we were saying about how we interact with our listeners and trying to have a foundation of respect and trying to receive constructive criticism and accept perspectives that are different from our own and not get petty and not get caught up in social media drama.
Drag them.
To me, that is something that is so off-putting.
Drag them, queen.
And there are a few podcasts that I've stopped listening to for that reason.
That being said, favorite podcast of all time?
Oh. That's hard.
Why is it While She's Napping or South of the City? Favorite podcast of all time.
All right. I guess I'll say, I have some staples that I listen to all the time, but it's more because it's like keeping up on current events. It's like my version of watching the news.
Sure.
But as far as like one that keeps me coming back, I guess is probably Crime Junkie.
Okay.
I binged it when I first discovered it, and now I look forward to the episode. I went off it for a while, and now I've like caught up, and I look forward to the episodes every week.
It's very bro of me, but depending on the guest, Joe Rogan is definitely up there. He sets the standard. In terms of just being the podcast king, and you can disagree with the type of clientele he has on there. I understand. I get it. A lot of it isn't for me too, but how he made that from absolutely nothing to what it is today, a multi-million-dollar podcast, is inspiring. Again, I have the Joe Rogan microphone, not because it's a Joe Rogan microphone. It's just this is what is known as the Joe Rogan microphone.
Mm-hmm. I just don't have time for the 3-hour episodes.
That being said, Something to Wrestle, for me, Something to Wrestle, the podcast with Conrad Thompson and Bruce Pritchard. If you were into early, mid to late 90s wrestling, that Attitude Era wrestling, or even the 80s, you will love this show. Dig in the archives. Conrad Thompson, to me, is the best podcast host ever. The way he structures his episode, the way he continues the conversation, the research he does, they are 2 to 3 hour listening experiences. They are something that I listen to piecemeal, but best in the game. The thing that killed it for me, though, is the advertisements. That is something that I don't like about advertisements, having them done every 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
It fucks with the listening experience. Then you have to pay for a premium thing without ads. I'm good. So that being said, those are my two favorite of all time. But of course, the thing that got everybody into podcasting was Serial.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Serial is the most popular podcast of
all
time.
I think it popularized podcasting in general. Yeah.
All right. Well, hopefully this helped you, listener, if you're thinking about starting a podcast. I'm sure we missed something, so don't hesitate to reach out. We will do our best to help you. in any way we can. Again, I see this all the time on the Reddit boards. I actually had someone reach out to me to help her start the podcast that she wants to do. Just my advice is just do it, and we will help you as any possible way that we can. We will. That being said, I'm not going to run through where you can find us because I already told you in this episode. But social media wise, where can they get in touch with us if they have questions?
Yes, and if we don't, we are genuine about wanting to respond and interact with everybody. It might be kind of delayed because we suck at social media.
Yeah.
But that being said, we're on Facebook at facebook.com/whileshesnapping, on Instagram at whileshesnapping, on Twitter at shesnappingpod, or our email is whileshesnapping@gmail.com.
What are we talking about next week? You doing beauty standards?
We have a few options. We were going to maybe talk about vaccine passports at some point.
We got 22
I know,
options.
We got a list going.
Maybe we'll talk about best cereals next week.
Oh, God.
That's a topic.
I know.
Or maybe we'll do that long preview traditions episode that we've never
done.
Oh, God.
I know. Yeah. Well, speaking of traditions, it's a holiday weekend.
Yeah.
So,
oh, yeah. Happy
Easter. This episode will be on dropping on Monday, the day after Easter. So hopefully everyone had a happy Easter, and Passover is also ending, would have just ended. So, yeah.
Hopefully the resurrection of your Lord and Savior was fulfilled by chocolate eggs.
Mm-hmm. I just enjoyed my favorite Easter candy of all time.
And bunnies, some reason, hiding those eggs.
Yeah, makes sense.
I don't know. I'm not religious.
I'm here for the Cadbury eggs.
Anyways, get them Monday. They'll be on sale.
Yeah, I already stocked up. I happened to find them the day I went to get my vaccine, actually. They had them at CVS. I'm like, it's fate.
There you go. That being said, till next time. See you.
Bye.